Like to welcome you to our study today. We are attempting another usage of Logos or Faith Life Proclaim. It's a different way to record, but it seems to be something that we'll use going forward. It's a beautiful evening when I'm recording this. There's a rolling thunderstorm in the background, so if you can hear that, that's okay. It's just I love that rolling thunder there, so God is good in that way. We are continuing our break from the book of Acts today. We're going to start like a little mini-series until we get back together. What we're looking at is the first Sunday in June, most likely, that we'll assemble together. Thank you for your patience and your endurance through all of this. It has definitely been something that none of us have experienced in our entire lives, but we are looking forward to assembling again. In the meantime, we'll continue to study online as we do. So our departure, our mini-series, is going to be on discipleship. We hover over that regularly because we need reminders of that. We will be asking a question of believers primarily: are you a disciple of Jesus? And we're going to look at three elements of discipleship. Today we'll look at just two of the three. We'll give you an overview of all three, and then we'll cover two today and one next week. So let's look to the Lord in prayer as we begin our study today. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you that you tell us what we need to hear. And Lord, thank you for the great salvation we have in the Lord Jesus that frees us to be able to follow you, to worship you with our lives. And we pray, Lord, that you would work in each of our minds and hearts as we study this mini-series. May it grab a hold of us and change the way we think, the way we approach our studies, the way we live out our studies, and even the way we make our choices. Thank you again for technology. Thank you for being our God, and who is not hindered by anything, but is in control of everything. And we just rest in you and in your control. We pray for those that are hurting, even all of us that are just separated from one another. And we pray, Lord, that you would meet needs. And, Lord, allow us to gather again soon. We pray for those affected by the coronavirus, directly or indirectly, that you might meet needs there as well. Help us in our study. Help us to focus. Help us to, Lord, eagerly approach your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we will get started here again. Are you a disciple? And we're asking this of believers, and we'll explain as we go here. We're going to look at three elements that are required for discipleship. This is kind of deeper than I've ever taught before. I'm kind of working it through in my mind a little more. And I've actually added the third one. You'll recognize it when we get to it if you're from Northridge. But as I work through my understanding of discipleship, it's deepened and I think broadened in a way that it needs to. So God continues to teach me as I grow in the Lord. And I'd like to give you a brief overview of all three elements that are here. So the first one, and these are in the notes if you have notes, is placing God's truth into my head. I state it that way just maybe so that we might hear it in a different way, but it's learning, or another way, a more formal way of saying is pedagogy. You have the learner and the one who teaches the learner. That's pedagogy, the idea of being taught. So we need to be learning in order to be true disciples, to be real disciples, to be obedient disciples. Number two is we need to be putting God's truth into my actions, which is living. Or, if you will, putting it to practice. It's not enough to know what God says. God expects us. He saves us to obey him. He wants us to put the truth to practice. He wants to put what we learn to practice. And then number three, he wants us to be prioritizing God's truth in our choices. And I call this leaving, and we'll explain that more next week, but it has to do with priorities. God is to have priority over at least three major areas of our lives, and we're going to talk about that next week. So these are the three elements that are required for discipleship, and you may come up with more that may fit or maybe enhance these or fit into these in some way, but I think these for sure are primary or major elements required for discipleship. If you don't have any one of these, even if you're missing one of these, you can't be a disciple of Jesus. You are not a disciple of Jesus. If you're not getting learning, you certainly can't put it to practice and you can't prioritize it. But if all you're doing is learning but not living it, you're not a true disciple of Jesus. You're a disobedient believer. And thirdly, if you're not, even though you're learning and living, if you're not putting God first as far as priorities, you're really not a disciple according to Jesus. Jesus has to have first place. Again, we'll talk about number three next week. So here's the next slide here. We're going to look first at the first element of discipleship, which is learning, and then the second element of discipleship, which is living. If you have notes, the first point is covered on the first side of the notes, and the second point is covered on the second side of the notes. So number one here, we have three subpoints to this, but the root idea of discipleship, that's what we want to grab onto. It starts here. If you don't have this, you do not have discipleship. And again, you need all three, but the root idea of discipleship is the foundation by which everything else is built in discipleship. So the root word for the Greek word translated disciple is manthano. And that's the one translated as the verb to learn. The word disciple is built off of that root word. So a disciple then is one who is learning. So the root idea of discipleship is learning. So being a disciple, stating it another way, being a disciple requires that you are learning. In order to be a disciple, you must be learning in an ongoing fashion. Because you cannot live out what you do not know. And if you've been around Northridge at all, we've shared over and over again that our minds on their own do not come to God's thoughts or decisions. The Bible continually commands us to renew our minds. Because we are programmed by our flesh, we're programmed by the world, we're even tempted by the devil, and we'll be thinking the wrong things. So we need to immerse ourselves in the Word of God. And that is the only way we can be disciples. That's why I encourage you to study the Word of God with us. And if you miss a Sunday, we have it in some fashion that you can review it. And maybe even to go over it again till it's part of you. But also, I encourage you to read through the Word of God every year, because God has revealed to us 66 books of the Bible. And I honestly believe that we are more accountable because we have that when most people haven't had it throughout all of time. So being a disciple requires that you are learning, and learning is formal, like being in a study like this, or informal, like reading through your Bible. Here's some verses, and I have a good list of verses. These are in your notes, but I want to highlight things. Notice here in Matthew 11:29, Jesus says this. He encourages the disciples to take my yoke. And by the way, a yoke is something that diminishes your freedom and it directs your course. So a yoke is not you doing what you want or me doing what I want. It's doing what Jesus wants, and that means you're saying no to things so that you can say yes to learn from Jesus. So take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Being a disciple is saying no to other things so that you can learn from Jesus. Again, studying the Word of God in a formal fashion like this, memorizing the Word of God personally or with others, or reading in your Bible and meditating on the Word. So Jesus commands us, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, he says. Another passage of Scripture, Romans 16:17. Paul says this, now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. Paul assumes that they have been taught, and they are supposed to use what they've been taught to avoid people who are living in a way contrary to how they've been taught. So it assumes that they have been taught, they have learned. And that's a big emphasis. Again, that's the foundation of discipleship. Paul says here, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. There's an understanding that disciples are learning. And you cannot be a disciple if you are not learning. 1 Timothy 5:4 highlights it yet another way. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. Now, this is a more specific example in the Bible, and you see it in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, that part of honoring your parents is to care for them in their old age. And that is something we as disciples are to learn, to show piety at home and to repay whom? Their parents. How do you do that? By caring for them when they're old, in their old age. So that is part of discipleship too. That's a specific example of something you learn. And then we have 2 Timothy 3:14. Paul tells Timothy specifically, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. So that the word learned is used twice there. But you have learned. And the key is, again, we need to be learning. And we learn, and then it adds and it develops in a progressive way. It's kind of like going through school. You learn your numbers and your letters, and then you learn simple words, and then you learn big words, and then you learn sentences and all of that, and paragraphs. And the same way, we learn the Word of God this way, and we need to be learning, and it's a lifelong endeavor. You never get to the point where you can stop learning. Even Paul, when he was in prison, ready to be put to death for his faith and for his leadership in his faith, in the faith, he told Timothy to bring the scroll so that he could keep learning. So that's an amazing thing. We need to keep learning. Now, a third part of this that I wanted to highlight here is being a disciple. If you have to be learning as a disciple, you need to obviously then have something more. There's another element. Being a disciple requires being taught by God's teachers. Being taught by God's teachers. If you're learning, God's primary way, and I know this might bother some people, but God's primary way is for you to learn from your teachers, your pastors that God has given you. Notice this, and we'll flesh it out here, but God requires being taught by God's teachers. It's assuming that you'll be being taught. So Matthew 28 again, or I guess not again, we'll look at it again shortly. It says, go therefore and make disciples, and part of making disciples is teaching them. Teaching them. So that's, you cannot become a disciple unless you're learning, and part of that process of learning is being taught. Another big passage here is Ephesians 4, 11 through 14. And it actually goes further, and I'll bring up another portion of this later on. But Ephesians 4, 11 through 14 says, and he, Jesus himself, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now I'm going to stop there for a minute. I highlighted pastors and teachers because they're primarily focused inwardly on believers. I believe that apostles and prophets are done away with. That was in the early church to help the church get established. We've covered that elsewhere. Evangelists are primarily focused outward. Gospelizers, the people that share the gospel with unbelievers. But notice here, pastors and teachers, and the way it's written, it's most people consider this one and the same. Pastors and teachers are a single office with two functions. They're shepherding, and part of their shepherding is teaching. And notice here it says, for the equipping of the saints. So teaching involves equipping the saints. They need to be learning. And who are they learning from? They're learning from their pastors and teachers. And I believe that's more of a local level too. I think that's where there's safety there. And the scripture goes on to say that passage, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. So there's a knowledge there. It's understanding and also practice, but even to an adult person, as it describes here. And then it goes on to say that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, or you can translate the word doctrine as teaching. So you get stabilized by good teaching and steady teaching. A good diet of good teaching will make you strong in the faith and prevent you from being tricked by the craftiness of deceitful plotting, wrong doctrine. Another passage here, one of my favorite passages in the Bible. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught. None of the previous part of the passage can happen unless you have been taught over a period of time. That's the implication of that passage there. So that's the first point here. The first element of discipleship is learning. And if you're not learning and continuing to learn and remembering what you learn, you cannot be a disciple. It's impossible. The entire idea of a disciple is someone who is learning. So let's go to the second element now of discipleship, and that is living. Now, when we talk about this, I have it in point number one here. Learning. When we talk about discipleship, you are not a disciple unless you allow learning to lead to living. And what we mean by that is you're putting it to practice. You're living what you have learned. And that's the only way you can be a disciple. Now, that's not going to be a perfect path, because we sin, we fail to remember, all of those things, but it's a progressive path that you're heading in the right direction, and you're seeking to live what you have learned. And if you're not seeking to live out what you have learned, you're not a disciple. You're missing that component. Learning comes first, but learning is not the end. It's only the first of the three elements. And by the way, all of these kind of happen together, but learn, you have to learn before you can live it out, before you can prioritize it. So, all right, so let's go to some passages here. Matthew 28:19-20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. And notice here, it's teaching them, but teaching them is not an end. It's a means to an end. Teaching them what? To observe all things that I have commanded you. So to observe, another way to say it is to keep them or to obey them. So Jesus has commanded us in many ways, and that's all the way through the epistles, to the way what to do and what not to do, how to live and how not to live. And so discipleship is more than just knowing facts from the Bible. It's living the truth of the Bible. What God commands us to do, we actually do. Matthew 10 brings this out in more detail, verses 24 and 25. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that what? He be like his teacher. So the process of a disciple, the process of a learner, the intent of discipleship is to become like his teacher. Now that puts some importance on pastors and others that might teach, but ultimately they are to mimic Jesus. Now there'll be imperfect examples in every way. There'll be imperfect examples, but they are to set the example and encourage you in that way. So, in their lifestyle, in every way. Another passage here, and this goes to Ephesians. I said we'd be back, and this is an extensive part of Ephesians here, but I want you to see this. This is picking up pretty much where we left off, but notice I've put in red letters things that have to do with putting it to practice. So let me read this here. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So God intends for every person to be serving and ministering. And it goes on to say this: this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. Part of discipleship is learning how not to walk any longer. You are not to walk. You and I are not to walk like the world walks. We don't listen to their music. We don't read their books. We don't watch their movies. And the things that we need to do or must do or can do, we need to filter them out and review them in light of God's word. Notice here, in the futility of their mind. That's how the unbelievers approach all of life. And we should be completely different, because we're not in the futility of our minds. We have been taught. Now notice here, having their understanding darkened, so their understanding is darkened. We've been enlightened because we've been saved. So we need to walk differently. And notice, unbelievers are alienated from the life of God. Why? Because of the ignorance that is in them. We are not ignorant if we're being taught. And again, that's the contrast here. A disciple will be markedly different because they have been taught, and then they put that teaching to practice. Notice here again that the unbelievers, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work on uncleanness with greediness. And remember, that's because their understanding is darkened, and they're doing so in the futility of their mind. the passage goes on to say this, but you have not so what? Learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him. And by the way, through the word of God is how you've learned, heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct. Again, discipleship involves stopping things as well as starting things. The old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So again, we need to be constantly being renewed in the spirit of our mind. And notice that you put on the new man. So you put off concerning your former conduct, and then you put on the new man. So discipleship is both putting off activities and putting on activities. It says putting on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness, which are descriptions of godly activity. Here's another passage, Titus 3:14. And let our people also, there's the word again, learn to what? Maintain good works. That's activity. It's not just knowledge. It's activity to meet urgent needs that they may not be unfruitful. 1 Peter 2:21 says, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. What? This is, says it as strongly as it can say it, that you should follow his steps. That's a lifestyle. That's not just information. That is a lifestyle. It's a way we're supposed to live. That's activity. That's conduct. Number two, as far as living out the truth, our claims are to be validated by our conduct. Now, this is a reality check. The verse that's in your notes here that I'll put on the screen here shortly is a reality check for us. Because oftentimes we think we're doing right because of what we've heard, maybe. But here's the truth. 1 John 2:6 says, he who says he abides, or if you will, walks, abides in him, or is walking with God, is another way to say it, or is in fellowship with God, is another way to say it, ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Who is he? That's Jesus. And by the way, I put ought in capital letters. Why? Because the word ought is the word that comes from the idea of being indebted. You are indebted. If you say that you're walking with God, then you are obligated to walk as Jesus walked. Now again, it's not going to be perfect like Jesus walked, but it will be reflected in your life. You will put the learning to practice. So that's a reality check. Your conduct validates your claim. Otherwise, if your conduct is no different than the world, then you are not a disciple. You are not abiding in Jesus. You are disobedient as a believer. So I pray that this is a positive reality check for you rather than a negative reality check, that you are walking just as he walked. Now, number three here, I point out two terms because it brings this out in a little bit of detail. The term Christian is related to living out God's truth. So even if you call yourself a Christian today, a lot of times it's just a label that people use to say, what religion? Well, I'm Christian. Well, Christian means something deeper than that. I list Acts 11:26 in your notes here. Notice what it says. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. Barnabas went to get Saul, who was later called Paul. He went to find him so he could help at Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church, Barnabas and Saul, and taught a great many people. And what was the result of that teaching? The disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. So the teaching led them to be labeled as Christians. Now this is fascinating. And I put this here in your notes. As the church believers were being taught, they earned the term of Christian. They were living, and what Christian means is like little Christs. They're saying you're conducting yourself just like Jesus would conduct himself. You're acting like Jesus acts. You're like a little Christ. And the surrounding community labeled them because of how their behavior mimicked the teachings of Jesus. That's profound. Now here's the rest of the paragraph. This is a beautiful picture of what discipleship is meant to be. We learn God's truths to live out God's truths. I'm going to read that again. We learn God's truths to live out God's truths. It changes the way we live to the point that it is evident to the unbelievers around us that we live by supernatural means, that we're different in a supernatural way, an otherworldly way, a godly way. So the term Christian itself bears the idea that we are to live out what we learn. It's not, Christianity is just not going to another Bible study or hearing another sermon. It's taking the sermon and meditating on it till it becomes part of who we are. It changes the way we think, the way we talk, the way we live. Number four is similar. The term saint replaces the label disciple after the book of Acts. And I'll explain that in a minute. But the word Christian, the word disciple was there early on in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts. And then the word saint works its way in. And the term Christian pops up in the book of Acts. So the term saint replaces the label disciple after Acts. Now here's my explanation for this. The noun disciple, mathetes, remember we say it comes from the word manthano, which means to learn. So a disciple is a learner. A disciple, mathetes, occurs, that term occurs 261 times in the four Gospels in the book of Acts. And the verb to disciple occurs four times in the New Testament. I think it's three times in the Gospels and once in the book of Acts. Now, what is interesting that after the book of Acts, the term disciple is not used again throughout the entire remainder of the New Testament. Right? So you never see the word disciple again as a noun, as a label. What is the label that takes its place? Saints seems to be the term that takes over, that replaces the word disciple. The plural form shows up 60 times in the New King James Version, and 55 of those occur after the book of Acts. So saints seems to be the what takes over the word for disciples. Now, why is that important to note? Well, notice this. The term saints relates both to a believer's holy position in Christ at salvation. When Paul writes and says to the saints at Ephesus or to the saints at Corinth, the word saints literally means the holy ones. The holy ones. And there's two ways that we're holy. One is because of the holiness that we receive from Jesus that we don't deserve and we didn't earn. It's positional holiness. And then there's also the holiness that comes because we live holy lives. So let me read this whole bullet here. The term saints or holy ones relates both to a believer's holy position in Christ at salvation and also the expectation the believer living out that holiness in action or in practice. So saints highlights our position in Christ as being holy in Christ, but also the expectation that God wants us to live holy lives. Now, how do we know this? Well, God makes this clear. 1 Peter 1:13 through 16. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. By the way, I think that has to do partly with teaching. So you cannot do this if you have not been taught, because you have to understand what the truth is to gird up the loins of your mind. And then be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then notice here, as what? Obedient children. Remember, living out the truth. What we have learned, that means we're obeying what we've learned. And notice, it's not conforming yourselves to the former lust. So we're saying no to things as part of discipleship. That's part of putting to practice what we've learned, is stopping behavior. And then it goes on, as in your ignorance. Remember, now we know better. We've been saved. We have the Holy Spirit that helps us to understand. Now we know better. We're no longer ignorant. But notice here, but as he who called you is holy, and here's the command, you also be holy. In what way? In all your conduct. Everything you do is to be holy. Our discipleship is the result in holy lives, which means we're turning away from sin and toward holiness. We're saying no to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the world's temptations, the devil's temptations, and we're saying yes to God. And so we are progressively becoming holy, doing what is pure and right before God, rather than things that are sinful like the world does. Now here's the three elements again. We've covered the two so far. Three elements are required for discipleship. Number one, placing God's truth into my head. That's learning. I'm actively working on learning the Word of God, and that means I'm also being taught. You are not a disciple if you are not learning in an ongoing way the Word of God, and that requires you being taught by God's teachers, but it also requires you meditating in the Word, what you've been taught, memorizing the Word, and also reading the Word of God, because you need the broad exposure as well as the deep exposure. Number two, being a disciple also requires us putting God's truth into our actions, living out the truth. It's not just knowing stuff and then ignoring it. We need to live it out. We need to practice discernment in what we listen to, what we watch, how we use our time, how we use our money, how we use our energy. All of that goes with regard to discipleship. Our lives will be different because we follow Jesus, because we're obeying him. And Jesus' commands govern every area of our lives, including what we think, what we say, and how we live. And then number three that we're going to cover next week is prioritizing God's truth in my choices, because ultimately, living for God is mediocrity unless you prioritize. You truly cannot be disciples of Jesus unless he has priority over areas of your life. You are not a follower. You are not an obedient Christian unless God has first place in your life in at least three major areas. And we'll cover those next week. So my question I leave with you today is, are you a disciple of Jesus? Are you a learner? Are you availing yourselves of being taught? And are you in the Word of God? Because it's more than just hearing a sermon once a week. You have to keep filling your mind with the Word of God. The Bible says you're to meditate in the Word of God day and night. It's to be your compass. It's to be your light. but also are you putting it to practice? It's not just what you know. You need to be doers of the word, not hearers only. Otherwise, we're just deceiving ourselves, James says. We're not disciples at all if we're not living what Jesus teaches. So I'll leave you with that. And then next week, I'll review the first two briefly, and then we'll study in depth the third point of prioritization, which is part of discipleship. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God once again. And Lord, I pray that we would repent and walk with you in every area that might contradict what we know to be your truth. Help us to love you with our lives, with our learning, and with our choices. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.